what is prescribed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good evening, everybody. Hello. Good evening, everybody. This is the, I think the third or the fourth week. Third week? Okay. In this study on futuring by faith. Can somebody tell me what it means for us to future by faith? Tell me what that means. Tell me what that looks like. What does it mean to future by faith? Talk to me. Yes, sir.
Truly believing that God will provide for your wants and your needs without seeing any physical.
Okay, that's a big part of it, is truly believing that God will provide for your needs even if you don't see evidence of it. It's pretty nice. Yeah, one more time. Truly believing that God will provide for your needs without seeing any evidence of it. That is a way to future by faith. What else?
Movement into uncertainty.
That futuring by faith can be characterized as movement into uncertainty. Okay? Movement. I'm moving into the uncertain. I can't figure it all out. Anybody else want to add to that? Yes, sir. Bruce.
I think it's realizing that there is a truth, accepting it as truth, and then acting on it.
Okay. I think that's a big part of it. Realizing that there is a truth. And what's the second thing you said?
There is a truth.
Accepting the truth.
And acting upon it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is another way of looking at the whole idea of futuring by faith. Is it warm down here? Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I heard. I hope the right people heard that. It's a little warm down here. All right. Okay. Let's get it going. Okay. All right. Okay. So tonight, we're supposed to be kind of focusing on Hebrews chapter 11, verses, what is it? 11. You don't have it in your study schedule, right? What'd you say, Carol Pogues? You sounded real certain of it. I hope you're right. See? 13 through 16 is what we're supposed to be looking at on tonight, right? Okay, but I'm changing it a little bit. All right, I'm changing it a little bit. Something else grabbed me in connection with this whole, it's the same topic, but I just want to look at a different text to bring it out, okay? Turn with me, keeping Hebrews 11, 13 through 16 in mind, and we may refer back to that, we may. I want you to go to Genesis, probably already there, Genesis chapter 18. Where's Genesis? 18. 1 through 15. Yes. And tonight I want to look at the convictions of faith, the promise, and the fulfillment by kind of just examining this story, at least just listening to what this story says to us. Okay. Verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham. I want you to underline or highlight or something that word appeared. Okay? Or write it down or something. Well, you know, I just want you to see that. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing thereby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then may all you wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick, quick, quick," he said, get some 3 seahs of finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and some milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Really?" That's what she said. She said, "After I'm worn out, and my Lord," talking about her boo, "is old," she said, "will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I ain't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did." If you're ever looking for a good comedy, just read the Bible. That's all you gotta do. Just read it. Okay, so last week faith was challenged because, Abram, Sarah. Matter of fact, well, let me ask you: how was Abram's and Sarai's faith challenged in last week's lesson? What was the challenge? What'd you say? Just believing. And how did Abram and Sarai react to that challenge? They decided to do what? Take matters into their own hands. How did they do so? Right, by using Hagar as a surrogate kind of mother through whom they could have the child, and as what may have been shared, you know that was perfectly legal, right? According to the law of Hammurabi, you could take and have children through your servant. Okay, so it was legal, but it wasn't of the Lord. Let me say that a second time. It was legal, but it wasn't of the Lord. Third time, it was legal. Just because something is legal don't mean it's of the Lord. That's another lesson. Okay. So they have this issue what was the bottom line issue? What is it that drove them to do this through, what's her name? Hagar, right? It was taking too long. God was taking too long. And when God takes too long, God needs some help. Right? Right. Have you ever tried to help God out? And what normally happens when you try to help God out? You end up with a mess on your hands. You may be paying for 30 years, right? You couldn't wait for God to come through, so you jump ahead of God and decide to do it your way. All right, all right, all right. And so, they've had this child now through Hagar, and Ishmael is born. And the interesting thing about it, and this is, you know, God is absolutely amazing. God's grace is probably the one thing, the one strand that flows all throughout Scripture. Because even by messing up in the Hagar thing, God still says, I'm going to bless your mess up. Isn't this something? You made a bad decision, and you've got to deal with some consequences of that bad decision. But still, I'm going to put my hand on what you messed up and still going to bless the world partly even through that. That's crazy. Okay, so they have this, they have Ishmael. Ishmael is here now. Now, how do you think by now, by the time you get to chapter 18, because now Abraham and all the males, and including Ishmael, have gone through the ritual rite of circumcision, which kind of makes them a part of the covenant people. Okay, so how do you imagine, just imagine, how Abram and Sarai are feeling at this point? Sarah by now. You know, how, I want you just use your imagination. Where might they be now in terms of mindset? You say? We did it. Say more. Loudly.
It's starting to happen now. So it's going down.
It's happened?
This is what God has had for us right here.
Okay. That you said this is what God has for us here.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 I think you are close to the kingdom. Yes. Yes, sir.
I think Abraham has said, in front of him, what is, oh, you know, we have really messed this up. What am I going to do now? You know, she's angry.
Uh-huh.
And there's this jealousy going on. And I think he wants to leave.
Okay. Perhaps. That probably could be some of Abraham's thinking. What else though, in terms of the promise, in terms of what God had promised them, and in terms of what the original agreement was, how might Abraham and Sarah be feeling at this point? What'd you say? It's not happening. It's not happening. And it could very well be, this is the word. Settled. Settled. By now? Okay. All right. We can just accept this for what it is. Sarah, no, I'm not going to have a child physically, okay? It's not going to happen. It's taking too long. Maybe we can just settle for the way things are, okay? Because when you've been shown some dreams, right? A dream has been put in your heart. Aspiration, ambition, a vision, a calling, however you want to put it. And along the way, you run into an obstacle. I mean, even more than an obstacle, you run into a mountain. You try to do it your way. Okay. And so you have something, but you don't have what God has promised. Right? So what happens at that point is you adjust your standards and learn to live with Ishmael when you were destined for Isaac. This is what I got. Ishmael is here, so I might as well settle for Ishmael, my Ishmael circumstance. I know I was destined for Isaac, but it seemed like it took a long time. Okay, so what happens in verse 1, chapter 18? What happens? Just read those first three words. The Lord appeared. Just when you settled, just when you may have even gotten comfortable with Ishmael. Yeah, even when you think God might be a little bit late, the Lord appears. Now, this is the most amazing thing to me in the whole Abrahamic narrative, is God's appearances. One day, what I want you to do, if you have some time, take some time, start in chapter 12 of Genesis and see how many times God appears to Abraham between that chapter and chapter 22. God keeps appearing. For example, God appears. Abraham does something. He jacks some stuff up. Okay, go to chapter 15. Verse 1. You see it? Yep, chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram how? In a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I'm remaining childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside. The Lord took Abram outside. I love this. And said, do me a favor, Abram. He said, look up. Tell me, he said, count the stars. He said, if you can, count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram did what? Believe the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Okay, so in this appearance, what does God, well, first of all, how does God appear to him in a vision? Okay, vision. He appears to him in a vision, dream, however you want to put it. And what does God do in this particular vision? Well, even before he gave him that illustration, he gave him a declaration. He said, what? Yeah, well, okay. He gives him a sense of identification. This is who I am. Okay, and then he declares in verse 4, this man's not going to be your heir. You are going to have a son. Okay, he said, let me illustrate this for you. What's this going to be like? Let me take you outside. And so he appears. Okay, keep it in mind. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was what? What did the Lord do? Appeared. You got to know that this must be an important thing in the Abrahamic story. God keeps appearing. Okay, so he appears here. When Abram was 9 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Every time God appears to him, what's the first thing that God does? God identifies and affirms who he is, because that matters more than anything else. Before I make you a promise of what I'm going to give you, I'm going to make sure you're clear on who I am. Because however you're feeling is going to be cleared up, not by my promise, but by my person. You got to know who I am. Let's be clear on that. Okay? So he appears unto him, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Jump down to verse 15. God also said to Abraham, now this is a part of this same appearance. As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, her name would be Sarah. That means a mother. And I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed. Everybody's laughing. And said, you would too, right? If you were 99, if you was 59, 69. See how y'all laughing right there? That's exactly how Abraham was laughing. Talking about, yeah. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And for Ishmael, that's my favorite text in the Old Testament. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Okay, I'm going to bless Ishmael, Abraham, because I've heard you. Oh, my God. Abraham said, I went the wrong direction, but I'm still praying for the product of my wrong direction. I even want you to bless. I mean, you got to have nerve. Okay. You got to have nerve to ask God to bless Ishmael. And God is like, if you crazy enough to ask for it, as for Ishmael, verse 20, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. This is killing me. And so give me once again the first three words of verse 8 of chapter 18, verse 1. What's it say? And the Lord appeared. So, Brother Lee, here's my question. Why does God keep appearing? He made the promise in chapter 12 when he originally called Abraham. He got Abraham started on this journey. God keeps appearing. What's this all about? What's this all about? What do you say? Reaffirmation. Now, okay, yeah, okay, let's stay here. Reaffirmation. Anybody want to add to that? God keeps on showing up at different, Brother Warrington. Abraham's belief was short-lived. And so because it was short-lived, he went back and forth, right? Isn't this you? My belief sometimes is pretty much short-lived. God is so gracious that he says, along the way, well, I saw it. Matter of fact, I saw it illustrated today. I get so many illustrations from my kids, and so there I am again, another track meet today. And I'm watching the event, the mile event. When you go to track meet and you watch the mile, sharing this with Brother Hopkins the other day, or the 2 mile, for me, that's halftime. You know, I ain't trying to sit there and watch six heats of people running around the track four times, okay? All right. And so, but I paid attention to something. I noticed that different track teams, different high school, let's say Morristown High School, they had an athlete that's running the mile four times around. At each turn, they had a coach or an assistant coach. You don't hear me. And as the person is running, you could hear the coach hollering their name. Come on, John. Go. Keep up. Speed up. At each crucial juncture, the team knew they needed to have somebody positioned to give the runner encouragement. Somebody ought to hear me. I'm just sitting there minding my business, and the Holy Ghost is just preaching to me. Telling me that's why when you get to church tonight, tell them that's why the Lord had to keep appearing to Abraham. At different junctures on his journey as he's running the race, the Lord had to appear in order to encourage him because his belief was short-lived. And what I noticed is that whenever a coach would speak to an athlete, they would speed up. Then sometimes they would slow down. And then you all know what I'm saying. And then there would be just about the time they're ready to give out, there'd be another coach stationed somewhere else tell them keep on going. That's why the Lord had to keep on showing up to Abraham. It's because at crucial junctures, the Lord knows when you need something in your life. I was and the illustration just keep on coming. I was having, as a matter of fact, two or three years ago, a really tough day. It was cold. It was warm enough, cool enough. I could have the windows down. I pull up at the light right here, Spring Street and Martin Luther King. And one of the churches, right, the union used to play hymns, church bells. And the song they were playing that day was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And I was complaining at first as to why the light was taking so long. Somebody ought to hear me. The Lord had me to stop there long enough to make sure he could preach to me and tell me keep on going. The Lord positions himself at certain crucial junctures in your history. I got my stories. You probably got yours too. Now here is the shout. Here is the blessing. Is that in one appearance, God appears to Abraham in a vision. In another appearance here, the Bible just says, and the word of the Lord. You don't hear me. And the next vision, and matter of fact, the next appearance we'll see here is through three people. You never know how God is going to appear. And you can't take for granted how God is going to appear because he don't come at you the same way every time. Sometimes the Lord can just send the right sermon your way. Sometimes he can speak directly to your heart around 2 a.m. while you're wondering why you can't get to sleep. He's trying to keep you awake long enough for him to talk to you. You're tossing and turning, trying to get back to sleep. That's the moment you may just want to say surrender and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? He'll speak directly to your heart. And then the other times, he'll send some people your way. That's because God is an incarnational God, and he'll get in people, send them your way in order to give you the right word at that crucial juncture in your history. Won't he do it? And I would just imagine that some of y'all would have given out in the race a long time ago if the Lord had not positioned himself at the right places during your race. Sent people your direction, sent a word your direction, didn't even feel like coming to church. You got there and God did not have a word off the rack. God doesn't give you off the rack words. He believes in custom made, tailor made stuff. aimed just for you. You wondering how the preacher knew all that. That ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. That has everything to do with the Holy Spirit, who knew exactly what you needed to hear when you pulled up on that Sunday. He gives you a rhema word. I'm taking too long, this appearance thing. But the Bible says, all I'm doing is those first three words. The Lord appeared. Thank you. Let me say that again, kind of sort. I can't say as well as you can, but that the Lord doesn't always come to us the same way, because we might be looking for it, and sometimes we might take it for granted. You know, we might take it for granted. God is a God of surprise. Now, the very interesting thing, and I think somebody alluded to it, is that God's appearances to Abraham seem to be after times that he messed up. Whether he was lying about Sarah being his wife, you know. No. That's my sister. I don't think there's any more comical story than Abraham and Sarah. First of all, you got these old folks leaving home talking about they're about to have a baby, all right? And then when Abraham is threatened, I mean, ain't this a brother? No, ain't my wife, that's my sister right there. He's telling all the baby. Okay. And then the whole Hagar thing. After all those crazy moments, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared. Because Abraham himself may have thought that, you know, after this, God couldn't have anything, want to have anything to do with me. And just the time you hear that whisper in your ear, God appears. And the fact that God keeps appearing means that Abraham is still in God's purpose. Yes. God appears to Elijah, right? And it wasn't like he thought it was going to be. It was in the quietness, the stillness. Still small voice speaks to him. Yes, ma'am. Chapter 17.
He actually gave him a time as to when it was going to happen.
God puts the pressure on God by saying, by this time next year, this thing is going to happen. You know, now understand. God didn't say that when Abraham first left home. Somebody ought to, look. It would have been real nice if God said to Abraham, I want you to leave home, because in 20 years, September 26th, your wife is going to give birth to a son, right? If God would just give us a little more clarity, the only thing God says, so this is revelation that becomes clearer as you obey. You got that, Brother Murphy? It's revelation that becomes clearer as you obey the first steps. You know, by the time the promise gets real close, he gives him a due date. By this time next year. Okay. All right. So, the Lord appears to Abraham. Let's do a little bit of this chapter 18. We only got about 10 minutes. We can't go long tonight because Cavaliers and the Bulls are on. So. I'm sorry. Matter of fact, let's close in prayer right now. Anybody ready to go home, right? Don't even mess with me. People holding their phones up like that, they can give me the score right now. Some of y'all watching it. Pretending you're looking at your Bible. You're looking at the game. All right, where am I? You got me all discombobulated now. Chapter 18. So The Lord appears to Abraham. How does God appear? How does God appear? Keep on reading. Y'all don't have it in your Bible? Go ahead. Yeah, it's he appears through these three men. Standing nearby, he saw them, and he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, bowed low to the ground. Okay. What does Abraham say to them? What does he say? What does Abraham say in essence? Stay here. Hang out. Yeah, let's hang out. He said, I'm going to get you something to drink. I'm going to get you something to eat. Okay. And it's funny. Abraham, I know you don't know anybody like this. Abraham's making all these arrangements, but everybody else has to do the work, right? Everybody over, you know. Right, you don't know nothing about that, right? Okay, all right. So he says, he says to them, standing, let me get you something to eat, and they agree. So what does Abram do in verse 6? Hurry up, Sarah. He tells her to make a little cornbread, okay? All right. And then what's he do? Verse 7. He tells his servant to prepare a calf. Okay, now preparing a calf doesn't just mean putting a steak on the grill. Yeah, all right. We don't need to go into detail, right? Okay, all right. Make this happen. Yeah, okay. So he tells the servant to do that. And then he brought some curds. What are curds? I don't know what that is. That don't sound like something I want. And cottage cheese. Right. So, and milk and the calf they had prepared and set it before them while they ate. He stood near. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose, we're only going to spend 60 seconds on this. Why do you suppose Abraham is being so hospitable? What'd you say? He understands. He understands whose presence. You think so? Yeah, that's what I concluded too, because I don't think he would have been so hospitable. I don't know, you know. What'd you say?
He was a foreigner in this land.
Okay. Okay, so it could have been. Matter of fact, and all we're doing is speculating here. See, whenever the Bible is silent on something, all we can do is speculate. But if you know some background here, okay, and so Tease was saying that because he was a foreigner himself in that land, that if he wasn't hospitable, that he could have been thrown out of that land himself. So it was just some legal, could have been a legal, practical reason. But I also believe that Abraham has some sense as to who this is.
Because it says in the beginning, if you look at everything that led up to this, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. He always heard. He was always aware when the Lord appeared.
Okay, that's a piece we hadn't brought up. That he was sensitive enough to know when God was appearing. Okay, we'll come back to that. Yes, sir. I believe that. That since God. Go ahead. Okay, so you must know that he knew something was jumping off here. This wasn't just no ordinary brothers coming through. Okay, he knew something was something. So he shows this hospitality. All right, and these three visitors get to the point. How do they get to the point? Follow along. What do you say? Where is your wife. Okay? Because for a moment, this was all about the food. Beverage, okay? That they are having a good time of fellowship. And all of a sudden, the three visitors mess it up by saying, "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they ask. And he says, "She's in the tent." Okay, and then they go on to do what they came to do. And what did they come to do? They weren't giving him any new information. What did they come to do? Confirmation, reaffirmation. They acted as one of those coaches, right? Encourage him. Keep on running. By telling him what? What do they say to him in specific? Verse 10. "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Come back to that just a second, please.
Isn't this the first time, though, that we're hearing that Sarah was actually going to be the one to bear the child? Like, never before in other chapters, unless I'm missing.
No, he just said in chapter 17, verse 17, matter of fact, that's why he's laughing, because he says, will Sarah be a child? Will Sarah bear a child? You know,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So my only question then is, how is it that we make them wrong for the Hagar option when they didn't know it was going to be Sarah in the first place? And by law, it's okay for your handmaiden to bear children for you.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple, and I just don't have time to do it at this moment, but we could pick at a couple verses prior to that where it's definitely implied that this child's going to come through he and Sarah. Okay? Yes.
All of what happened in this narrative comes within the providence of God. You know, he allowed Hera to have the children as well.
Uh-huh. Sure. Now, listen to the promise very specifically, okay? Watch it, y'all. You watching? Literally. Verse 9. They ask, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" They ask him. They're in the tent. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have the son." Now, the only way they're going to have a son is if the Lord comes back. He said, "I'm going to visit you again, and you're going to have a son," which means everything that you're going to have is as a result of what I'm going to do. He makes it clear that I'm going to return. And again, he puts the pressure on himself by saying it's going to be this time next year. And they'll just say that you're going to have a child, but you're going to have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance. She being a little nosy now, right here out there with the boys. And here goes Sarah. She wanna know what's going on. And she overhears this promise. And what's her reaction? She laughs. She laughs to herself. And she starts, you know, "After I'm worn out, Lord is old, I'm going now See, for them, they had, matter of fact, I said that it was implied a couple places when with the question you asked, Tisa. It's implied in a couple places, and then chapter, we don't have time to go there now, so let's not even look. But chapter 17, verse 15, the Lord tells him that Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son, okay? This is why they're having such a hard time believing it along the way, because they can't believe that at their age, because notice they keep on saying, Abraham, me at my age, and Sarah at her age, going to have a son. That's what they keep on having issues with, okay? And so here, she laughs, okay, just like he laughed, because the same reason she's laughing now, he laughed earlier, because ain't no way a child's going to come through the two of them. That's been the whole issue all along, okay? And, you know, sometimes Sarah gets criticized a lot for being the only one who laughed, but Abraham was one who laughed at this first, and now Sarah laughs at this. And so the Lord, now what's interesting is that Sarah doesn't laugh out loud. You know, she laughed to herself as she thought. But the Lord can even hear her laughing to herself. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, why is she laughing? And here's the question. Here is the question that's at the center of the whole Abrahamic story. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There it is. Is anything, no matter what you're facing. Now, it's too hard for Abraham and Sarah, but is anything too hard for the Lord? It must not be. Sarah gets called on the carpet about this laugh, and what does she do? She lied. Said it wasn't me. And the Lord said, oh yeah, you did laugh. Isn't this an amazing? I need somebody to just act this out for me. Let's just bring this to drama. Okay, let's close it out. Let's close it out. And I simply want to read this. We don't have time to jump real quick to Genesis 21. After all of that, verse 1. What happens? Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac, which means he laughs. Verse 4, when his son Isaac was eight days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. So the laugh of doubt was changed into a laugh of celebration and thanksgiving. Yeah. God can change a laugh. And that's what he did for Abraham and Sarah. You go home and you ask yourself that question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Are you facing anything that's too hard for you? I get it. Is anything too hard for him. Okay. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Paula. Okay. All right. Ooh. This reminds me of something. Couple of announcements. Sunday, after second service is a life planning workshop. Registration is required. It's on the end of life issues, protecting your family, and understanding the need of a will, and so forth and so on. And folks need to be registered for that. Is there anybody here registering folks tonight for that? Do I have anybody? I don't. Does Samaria have anybody registered? Okay. Guess not. This is just FYI in case anybody is interested and wants a little church over the next couple of days. Tomorrow night, where am I preaching? I'm in Harlem at Convent Avenue Church. Anybody wants to come to New York, 7 o'clock, I'll be there. Convent Avenue Church, for anybody who's interested. And then Thursday, I'm in Flemington at United Methodist Church, right here, Flemington, New Jersey. United Methodist Church, that's at 7 o'clock on Thursday. Wednesday, I would want you to come. Thursday, I need you to come. You'll catch that on the way home. Yeah, I won't even go into it. But if anybody has any free time or whatever, freed up. You know what? Somebody asked, where's the transportation? There's definitely not transportation tomorrow night to Harlem. We're not taking no bus. Maybe the Fleming. I'll find out. And we'll get the word out. Okay? All right, let's stand, please. Oh, okay. 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 All right. I was just informed that there were directions to both of those places up here on the. Okay. All right. Let's pray, please. Gracious God, we thank you afresh tonight for just being able to reread and reflect on a story. Yeah. That's all we did, Lord, and we thank you for. Just the stories that you have put in your word that speak to us in our own lives. God, some of us seriously are facing some things that are too hard for us. The blessing is that they're not too hard for you. We don't know how you're going to do it. We don't know when you're going to do it. But we know that you're able. And so along the way, keep on appearing to us when we're just about ready to give out. Appear and remind us of who you are, and then remind us of what you're able to do. Yes. We bless your name, cover us as we travel, some near, some around the corner, and some miles away as they go home. So cover us with your safety. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How are you? Thank you. I'm having fun.
Out of here.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
You know what it is?
And everything that comes along with that. You know what I mean?
That is nice.
Really? And so you know what I mean? So somebody asked me, someone will ask me, how's your mom doing? I'll just say she's been happy.
I understand.
You know what I mean? Yes. And you get it?
Yes.
Okay.